All right. Before we get to the message tonight, Brother Morgan is waiting to speak to us tonight, and he is, I asked Jeremiah, I will ask him what time it is there, but I think it's somewhere around 3 o'clock in the morning. And so I do appreciate him waiting to talk to us tonight. And so as he gets up on the screen, he'll be able to hear us and me, but he will not be able to see us, but we'll be able to see him. Dr. Jim Morgan is someone who was trained out in Oklahoma under Brother Jim Vineyard, and then came and served in our ministry, served in Brother Donahue's ministry, served in this church, and went out, what I believe, 27 years ago to Romania, and has served there faithfully. And as we begin the process of transitioning, talking to Pastor about even before the vote, and I began to talk to Pastor about having to turn the college loose and have someone that could come in, and we wanted a man that would stand on the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Amen. We didn't want a man that would change or a man that would be given to change in any way. And so God spoke to my heart, and I went to Pastor and talked to him about Brother Morgan, and said that I felt like that was the name that God had given me, and he was the man that I should talk to about leading the college. And we both heavy-hearted about that decision, knowing that I felt like that's the way God directed me. But I hope you understand this has not been done lightly. Never want to take a man and try to put my will. We wanted to make sure that it was God's will. We prayed and prayed and prayed about that for a while. And this summer, while he was here, as he married off his little girl, amen, we talked a little bit. I had not talked to Brother Morgan at all about the situation, really. And he began to sit down and talk to me about the future as his pastor, and that blessed my heart as well. And he mentioned to me about, you know, what would I think about some years down the road when he got older, you know, down when he got old, you know, and maybe teaching the college and things. And I said, well, brother, God has been burdening my heart that you would come back and lead the college. And he was humbled, and we both sat there and rejoiced together that God was not only doing something in my heart, but was leading him in the same direction. And just so the church knows, and I'll ask Brother Morgan to give some details from his side, but we were planning more. We did not, this isn't something that we tried to expedite. This is something that naturally we thought would take the entire school year for him to be able to return to our ministry. But God has been working, and God has been doing things. And we knew we do not want to leave the people that we have invested in as a church, and that they have as a ministry there. They've won to Christ. And so as we've gone forward, the Lord has just been working in each step. And so, Brother Morgan, are you behind me?
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
Amen. Brother Morgan, I could you hear what I was saying there? Is
Yes, I heard it.
All right. Brother, why don't you go ahead and just talk to the church a little bit. First of all, giving us a report about how you've been since you left us and your little girl here with a guy named Aaron. And then let us know about, then maybe tell us, a little bit about after that. I'm going to turn it over to you for a little while. I want you to talk about just what I just talked about, and then maybe if you could talk about the man that's going to be with us on Wednesday night, Daniel Reed.
Okay, so as we were here the last few years in Romania, especially with the way the world's kind of turned upside down with the coronavirus and everything, we have seen a lot of missionaries have to get shut out of their fields and everything, and I'd just gone and talked to in the office with Brother Parson and just mentioned the fact if something were to happen or something down the road to happen where I couldn't return to the field, I just said, would there be someplace maybe in the college for me? And then he began to share what he and Brother Carter had been praying about. And it seems like God was bringing things together for that. And I says, well, I can't just pack up and leave. It's going to, it may be a while. And as soon as I got back here to Romania, there's a missionary that's been in the country for about 4 years over the mountains from me, about 2.5 hours away. And I called him and I says, you know, I'm looking at maybe going back to the States and working with my church, my sending church. Would you consider the possibility of, now that you're getting through with your language school and all, would you consider the possibility of coming over and taking over the ministry? And he said, well, let me think about it. He didn't really sound all that hopeful. But then he called me back, asked me for some more details. And he called his pastor and he called his mission board. And both of them said, they said that they didn't see any reason why he shouldn't go. As a matter of fact, they said, this is almost like the perfect thing for you. It's time for you to break loose from where you've been. There's a lot of missionaries over in that part of the country. The area he lives in doesn't have anybody. So you've got a ministry started there and facilities. So we think you ought to go ahead and do it and step out and do it. So he called me back, and I immediately called Brother Parson and up the timeline. We were looking at maybe late next spring, but it looks like he is in the States right now raising some additional support since the end of September, and he'll be coming back here the end of December, and then I'll be able to we'll have to take care of some paperwork and sign some property over and some vehicles, and by the mid to late January we should be able to fly back to the States and begin working. So we praise the Lord for that. The Lord's been good in working out the details. Just for example, when I sent my prayer letter, my last letter out announcing to my churches about our desire to and call to come back to the States, I prayerfully asked my churches to consider taking on Brother Reed in my place whenever I leave the field. And he said that almost immediately, four or five of my churches began to call him right after that letter got to him. And already three of my best supporting churches have already agreed to take him on for support. So that's, the Lord seems to be confirming this in many different ways. And so we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to getting back to being with you folks, and looking forward to where the Lord's going to take us. I was just last week, 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, I went to Belgium to do a wedding for a lady that grew up in our church. She was a little girl whenever I came here. She got saved, was baptized, began to grow, began to teach Sunday school, and then they moved to Belgium, and she's been in Belgium for several years, met a young man there. And the church that she's in is her the church that her brother-in-law and sister, Laura Donna, Junior Haley and Laura Donna, who's visited Landmark some years ago. I was in that church, and we did that wedding. I was able to preach there, and it was a great week we had there. And then after that, I was at the Mission Possible European retreat in Germany, and I had a good week there. And last night, we got in about midnight from Germany, and so we've got to get busy. I've got about 7 cubic meters worth of boxes packed up in my dining room. I'll be contacting the shippers tomorrow, and they'll be sending a truck out here probably early December to pick up my stuff. So that's kind of where we're at. We're trying to just kind of keep things running here as we wrap things up, and we ask that you'd pray for us. A lot of things to do, a few more complications coming down the road with restrictions put on travel through air with the coronavirus and stuff. So but we want to work through that, and we pray that God will just continue to bless the way he has up to this point.
Brother, I know you asked us to pray, but could you tell us any specific, maybe some things that God's people could pray specifically for between now and then? I know that it may be a hard question, but if you could share some things with us, we'd love to be able to pray specifically.
Okay, well, I've got to sell my house, and there's a little bit of a complication. I built a little annex on the back of my house for my heating system, and it's not on buildable land. And so I've talked to a lawyer, a contractor who knows a lawyer, who knows a guy, and who knows another guy, okay? And we just pray that this can go through and we can get this land sold to the next missionary, the land turned over to him anyway. Pray about that. Pray about the testing for coronavirus. I was in Belgium, and I knew I had to have a test to go to the conference in Germany. And the day I was scheduled to get the test, they changed all the rules, and I had to give a different kind of test, and I couldn't get it right away. And the price went up and everything else. And that's the kind of thing. They just made new rules for coming into the States for American citizens. Instead of getting a test 72 hours before the flight, you have to now get it 24 hours before the flight, and usually it takes 24 hours to get the results back in a lot of cases. So we're looking into that, trying to find some options where they can do the test a little bit more quick. And so we got that. We got this stuff to ship, and that's it's not as bad as it could be. We're looking at about $6,000 to ship our stuff, and then my two vehicles, I've got to get those signed over. And just keeping things going here through all that, and keeping our folks faithful. Pray that the transition will go good with Brother Reed. He's different. He asked me all the right questions whenever I talked to him about it. And one of the questions was, when you leave, am I going to be in charge, or are you still going to be in charge? And I says, no, when I go and turn it over to you, it's going to be yours. And I'm not going to be the Pope from America trying to run it. And he said, okay, then that's good. So just a few things that we've got going on. Not much else I can say about it, other than we just need God's patience and wisdom to get through some of this process.
Brother Morgan, I appreciate it. And thank you so much, brother. We're praying for you, and we'll be praying about these needs specifically, and we're going to let you go to bed tonight.
Well, yeah, that'd be nice. I appreciate that.
Amen.
But I was really excited about being able to come and do this and let you folks know how things are going here, and looking forward to being there in January.
Thank you, Brother Morgan, so much for being with us tonight. This morning for you.
All right. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, brother. All right. Amen. Well, we're looking forward to that. He is going to be a blessing to our ministry. He has been a blessing to our ministry. And so we're looking forward to that. Take your Bibles tonight and go to the book of Titus. Amen. If you were listening by radio, I just turned the lights back on. Amen. We're looking forward to his return, but we want to make sure that everything is taken care of there. We don't want to rush anything. We want it to be in the Lord's time. And so you be praying about all the things that he mentioned. Those are things, and I'll tack on to that even in our own ministry. As we try to go forward and press on for the Lord, we need to lift up, you know, this ministry and hedge it about in prayer that God would protect us and help us in this thing. We've got a world, and Satan uses a lot of folks to try to get at his church, and amen, and some try to slow the work, and he can't stop it. We've already had the victory, amen. We already got the victory, but he can definitely try to slow us down and discourage us. And so pray, if you would, for our ministry, and pray for how God is transitioning Brother Morgan back here. We're blessed that God put all that together. Tonight in Titus chapter number 2, I'll be brief tonight. I thank you for being here and all that's going on, all the giving this morning. Thank you so much. What a blessing it is to be able to give to missions. Amen. And see all these things done. And Brother Mojica as well, being able to be back with us. We were not expecting all the blessings of the missionaries that are sent out of here to be able to be with them. And even Brother Daniel Reed, just the Lord orchestrated that just right. We were trying to wait until the missions conference to be able to, for some things to happen before we told the church about Brother Morgan returning. We weren't keeping it a secret. Several of you have heard and knew those things were happening, but at the same time, we wanted to wait till we told everyone, until there were some things solidified on his side. And then for the blessing of Brother Daniel Reed, who is going to take his ministry to not only be in the States, but being able to be with us during our missions month, the Lord put all that together. Amen. And so here in Titus chapter 2, I want to preach a message tonight, and just in short, but I hope if you don't normally take notes, this would be a good one to take notes on. Just going to give you some short points out of a few verses here tonight on how to live by grace. Grace is something that none of us deserve. All right, we can't earn it. It doesn't matter how good we are before or after salvation. We cannot earn the grace of God. But it's bestowed upon us because of Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary. And we know that tonight. I believe I'm preaching to mostly a saved crowd tonight. But how to live by grace, the Bible tells us over and over in several different books, but it's concisely written here in this book that oftentimes we talk about as a pastoral epistle. And sometimes people overlook these books because they were preacher boys and these books are only for preachers. That's not true. These books are written to Christians, the whole Word of God. Now, specifically, even in this book, if you were to go back into, we're not going to read a lot of verses, but in some of these verses, it's going to talk about specifically the aged men in verse 2 of chapter 2 and the aged women in verse 3. So I think that we can get specific, and there's younger women. We can talk about the younger men through this. And then even if we come all the way down to what we call servants, all right? So even if you didn't feel like, I don't know if servants don't fall into those things, maybe this is in the middle. Middle-aged people are servants. I don't know. Amen. And so, but there it has the older and the young, and all these things are being said about direct things that we can do to live in this present world for the Lord Jesus Christ. But then at the end, he begins to try to sum it all up. You know how at the end, after you get through and you try to put it together in short, how am I supposed to live for God? How am I supposed to live by grace? Look at verse number 11 with me tonight. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Folks, I don't know about you this evening, as we've had such a great missions conference and all that it is, but you know, we get on a high sometimes. We have a week like this and our cup's been filled up, but if we're not careful, that can't be every week of our lives. We're going to get back into next week, and maybe we'll feel like we're not as blessed as we were last week if we're not careful, when God loves us just as much as he ever did. Then we're just as blessed. And it's good for us to come apart and to separate out and to focus on the things of God for a week. And we've had a week-long chapel in the school, but the kids will go back to school and it'll be just like it was before. But God's Word tells us that every day of this life, yes, there's going to be times of being on the mountain peak. This week's been a mountain peak. The preaching of God has blessed my heart and strengthened me and built my faith up. But I can't always live there. Sometimes I got to walk the road, and sometimes it feels like I need more grace than at other times. The Christian life is about living by grace. Everything, every blessing of God, every day of this life that I take a new breath and I get to serve the Lord Jesus Christ is only because of his grace. I don't deserve any of it. I've prepared and talked to the Lord, and I'm just going to be as transparent as I can be. I pulled up behind the church and I drove by and I saw the choir was already here before I got here, and many cars already in the parking lot. And we had just a great day. And many of you may not know, but that young lady that walked the aisle this morning came off my bus route. And she walked the aisle and got saved this morning. She got baptized. That blessed my heart. Listen, every soul is precious. But when you've invested, you know the difference when it is when it's your convert, when it's somebody that you invested in, when it's somebody that you invited to come, and they walk down and get saved. Hey, folks, I thought to myself, boy, she's just starting out. I remember that day I got saved. I remember that day I got baptized. I remember that day that it was real to me. Hey, I want to live by grace. How do I live by grace? On the days not when it's a mountaintop experience, but an everyday Christian life, just focusing on, we've got some things here in the scripture that says that in verse 4:11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." Grace is available to all. It's appeared. It's out there tonight. If you walked outside, God can speak to you through the stars. He can speak to you through the clouds. When the sun is high and there's not a cloud in the sky, we can see that man did not make this. All these things that we see in that beautiful sun that sets in the sky was by the hand of Almighty God. And salvation appears not only in nature, but in people around us. When I see a man that does not normally, listen, the man by nature, one of the questions that was told me today, I just sitting at lunch and I thought, well, one of the kids asked if there were bad people. They asked Brother Chitty in the class if there were bad people where he was from on the other side of the country. And he said, people are people everywhere. But it's only because of the grace of God that we're not like all those other people. That there's something different about us. There's a peace, a grace, a goodness that doesn't come without the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, folks, there are good moral people in this world. But if they're living by a set of moral code, that moral code is this book. Okay? They're living a life by grace, and hopefully it would be by faith. But here tonight, look at the scripture with me. He says in verse 12, teaching us. What does grace teach us? If we would let grace teach us. You know, when I got grace, I got the Holy Spirit of God, who is a teacher, who is someone that will teach me if I'm willing to learn, who will reveal to me all truth, and not just to the preacher. Don't mix up that, oh, this is a pastoral epistle. No, God will teach you too. If you're willing to be taught and you open your heart and mind and say, Lord, teach me. I often try to pray directly and ask the Holy Spirit because it's His job to teach me. And when I sit down in front of the book in the morning, I say, Holy Spirit of God, would you reveal a brand new truth this morning from your word? Teach me, O God. Teach me, O Lord, about thy precepts. Here in the scripture, he says, teaching us in verse 12, that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Number one, if you're taking notes, live nobly. Say, live nobly. Yeah, the word here, the Bible uses that we're supposed to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And that, you know, we should live soberly. But here, when we talk about denying certain things, you know, nobility, I don't know if you know anything about, you know, royal families. I don't really get into all that. I thank God we're Americans. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There's no king but Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And we may have to take up arms if we're going to keep it that way.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh. That's why we have the Second Amendment.
Amen.
And we'll have no king but Jesus. Amen. Amen. I just threw that in there for everybody. Amen. But to live nobly, you know that the nobility was just under the royalty. And everything that they had, their position, their title, their lands were all given to them by royalty. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but to live nobly means that there's a creed or a person of royalty who has set up a kingdom and he's given me position in that kingdom. He's given me a place. He's given me position. He's given me a purpose in his kingdom. And if I'm going to live nobly, then I have to be taught to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. In this life, too many people that are in the Christian faith, sometimes non-denominational, if you want to, you know, so-called, you know, That means we don't know what we believe. That's truly what the term means. But even if they take a position outside of the scripture, there are a bunch of people that think Christianity is all grace and no denying, no living nobly, no living for the Lord, but all just faith, no practice. That's not what the Bible teaches. When faith comes in, grace will teach the believer. Now, I'm not saying people can't accept Christ and live like the world, but the Bible says that we ought to judge them by their fruit. If something happened on the inside, something ought to start happening on the outside. Amen? You say, well, you're just being judgy. You're just being stupid. Amen. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying. You're thinking with an ungodly, worldly mindset. Because it matters to God. Grace in the life of a believer will teach them to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Amen. I thought I'd get your attention with the stupid thing. Amen. Now that we're all listening. Number two. Amen. Live soberly. What's the word soberly mean? It's not telling you that you can't drink, although you shouldn't drink. Amen. Live soberly. If the grace of God teaches me to live soberly in this present world, that means I'm supposed to be serious about the things of God. I ought not just deny the things of the world, but I ought to be serious about the things. If I turn away and deny the flesh, ungodliness, and worldly lust, then I ought to turn to God with seriousness. There's nothing in this life that makes me more upset about people. When I played sports, about somebody that didn't think it was important. Say, preacher, sometimes you don't play over there. You go over to the gym. It's not because I don't want to play. It's because I'm competitive. I don't like to lose. If I'm going to play, it's serious. I may hurt somebody. I may push somebody down and not mean to do it. You say, well, I thought you were going to be... There's no grace when I'm playing a game. I want to win. But if it's more than that, it's just some silly game that don't matter in eternity, how much more serious, how much more important is it when we talk about the things of God? And not just on a worldwide scale, we're focusing on missions, but my personal life, my growth, the grace of God teaching me to deny certain things, but to add some things to my life. If I'm going to really grow in the Christian life, I've got to be serious about the Christian life. I can't be flippant about the Christian life. That means if I'm going to be serious, you're going to be serious about college. You're going to read the books. You're going to do the work. You're going to study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Which leads me to my next illustration. I don't like working with people that aren't serious. I want to work. There's nothing more frustrating with people that act like they got to the millennial reign of Jesus Christ to finish something. Amen. I came to work, not to hang out. I'm serious about the work of God. So let's work. I don't mind hanging out and fellowshipping when it's fellowship time. Because that's the work of God. I'm serious about my fellowship. Bring on the chicken. But when it's working time, it's time to pick up the hammer and put down the chicken leg. And work. Because the night comes. Look, we're looking. Grace teaches me that the night's coming when no man will be able to work anymore. The work of God will be over because the rapture will have happened and it will be the church age will be over. Folks, I don't know, but we live in a day and age. See, this idea, this soberly is getting our thought life right. Thinking right. Being serious, not just being flippant about everything, but really honing in. What does God want from me? What does God want for me to do? Where is God sending me? What direction does he want me to point in? When does he want me to read my Bible? When does he want me to pray? What does he want me to learn? How does he want me to act?
That's where it starts, in the mind, getting our minds right and focused on Christ, getting the mind of Christ from the Word of God. Soberly, number three, living righteously. This word simply means in the 1828 dictionary, justly. Do you know so many times in this life, grace will teach me to be just with people. Sometimes we don't think that this is important. The world teaches us to get ours first. To live selfishly. That's not what grace teaches us. Grace teaches us to live unselfishly. Grace teaches us to live justly. This morning, I thank God for our people. And when the need was presented, God's people dug in their pockets and gave to a need that was there. Hey, folks, that's big time. That teaches us that we're trying to live by grace, not by this, not keeping what I can keep. You say, well, preacher, I needed that money for McDonald's. Listen, that ain't going to hurt you, all right? Amen. Too many times we don't think that way. We don't think about what a blessing it was I was able to give of my abundance for the cause of Christ. I was blessed to give. I want to be someone. I want to be in the midst of a people that give out of joy. Do you know that God's people, before they really got wrong with him, when God brought them out of Egypt in plenty and he began to lay out the plans for the tabernacle, they had to stop the people from giving. They were coming and out of their abundance. When God brought them out of Egypt, he blessed them. I mean, people just, they borrowed of the Egyptians and it was all they could carry out of that place. And then God wanted to build his tabernacle in the wilderness, and men gave and gave and gave, and they said, it's too much, stop. Wouldn't it be great if we came to a place in this life when we had to stop you from giving to missions? Amen. You say, that ain't never going to happen. I agree with you. But wouldn't it be great? I mean, really, but even for us as God's people, we're so blessed, but sometimes if we're not careful, we'll give begrudgingly instead of giving with joy. And for us, yes, the missionary is blessed when the money goes in the plate and God is fulfilled. But if we give it away and go, God, I needed that. Then we spend a week with the wrong mindset rather than being able to give with joy. God wants us to be serious about his work. He wants us to live righteously. The first one is getting our mind right. The other is actually practicing and doing right, being justly or righteously living. How to live by grace? Live nobly, live soberly, and then live righteously. That means then my actions should back up my thoughts. My thoughts should guide my actions in the Christian life. Whatever I put my hand to do, I'm going to do it with all my might, because that's what the Bible taught me, because my mind says that. He goes on and he says to live godly. Look at the scripture with me. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The word little g godly there just means that to live in obedience to God's commands from a principle of love. The idea for us to serve God and to live godly is not to do it because we fear God and he's going to spank us or hurt us, but I want to please him. Do you know so many times in the Christian life, most people are more obedient out of fear of God hurting them or taking something from them instead of loving God so much, I won't touch that. Instead of loving God so much, I want to work. I want to be serious about his work. I love God so much, I want to do this. Listen, if we could get our mind right, it would affect our practice. And when our mind was right and our practice was right, a lot of times that will affect our heart. And all of a sudden, the thing that maybe we did at the beginning out of duty, now I realize that the grace of God has taught me to love God and to serve him not out of fear, but I serve him out of a heart of obedient love for God. We got to live godly in this present world. And then we ought to live expectantly. The next verse is looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The thing that helps us, do you know if we're not careful, the grace of God would teach us to live right in thought and in our practice and in our heart for Him. But if we're not careful, you know, people cannot go. There are soldiers, it is Veterans Day this past week, and there are soldiers that have been put in prison camps, and it is only hope that America will send somebody for them. It's only hope that one day they'll get out. It's only hope that they hope against hope. Hey, for the Christian, if we live with a mindset to serve God, that Christ-like mindset, and we serve in practice, and we do, and we go against the grain of this world, and we live the way God wants us to live, and we practice the way God wants us to practice in our families, in our homes, and in our lives, that's not going to be easy. If we live and serve Him out of love, people will see that we love each other and we love the work of God, and they'll turn to the same place. But still, we'll get wearied down if we're not careful. And it's only looking for the appearing of the Lord Jesus. It's only realizing that at any moment. You say, why? Well, what, you know, if we knew, if God set a date way out somewhere, we'd say, you know what, I need a rest. I've got to pace myself. Look at this run I've got. Look how long I'm going to serve God. Look how far I've got to stay. I've got to stay faithful. No, God always has us looking. God always has us waiting, because at any moment, at the twinkling of, I mean, just at the sound of the trump, the split second, Jesus could return for His church and take us home to be with Him. Why does God do that? Is it to keep us on our toes? No, it's to give us hope that He's on His way. No matter how bad the day seems or how low you get, grace teaches us to look up, because Jesus is coming again. Hey, folks, tonight, church, I'm preaching to the choir tonight, how to live by grace. The Bible lays out a beautiful area here and wants us desperately to have a right mindset, a right practice, wants us to have the right purposeful heart, if I could say it that way, of love for God, loving what God has employed us to do in Sunday school, on the bus routes, in the nursery, in the Christian school, whatever God has had you invest yourself in the work of God, He wants us to fall in love with it in obedience to Him. And then wants us to look up the whole time. You know, in your service to God, if you have a right mindset, so you're saying the right thing and you're practicing the right thing, and man, your heart, you're just joy. I mean, you know how it is when you're, you know, just head over heels in love with something. People can't help but think it's cute, even if they don't love it yet. But, you know, I've noticed when I can go outside, if I really want to mess with the guys working on maintenance, I'll walk up and I'll go looking at something. And I won't say nothing. They're talking to me steady, just talking to me. And I'll steady look at something. They call me eagle eye. And I'll just look at something. And then every once in a while, I'll just mess with them and go, they'll say, what are you looking at, preacher? Nothing. You know, I've seen people do the same thing. They start looking in the sky, and all of a sudden you get a crowd of people looking up in the sky. And after you get them all looking up, you can slip away. But that's what's different. That's the witness that we can be to the world. When they see that we love each other, that shows that we're so different and we love what we do. You mean you work all week and then you go to the church and work some more? Yeah. Why? Because I love God. Amen. I love it. I work all week so I can go to the church and work. Amen. Hey, listen, folks, that's how grace teaches us to live. And what the world really needs to see is people truly looking up. Say, what are you looking for? Let me tell you about Him. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He's coming again. You know, I know you believe in Buddha, but Buddha ain't coming again. I know you believe in the third Mahdi, but he ain't coming again. You believe in UFOs, but they ain't coming again. Hey, folks, Jesus is coming again. As a church, the way we live and people know that we live by grace is we live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And we look up for the return of Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? If God spoke into your heart, maybe just something that happened this morning or tonight from the message, God spoke to your heart, why don't you step out and come in the invitation? The musicians are coming. If you're here tonight and you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven, why don't you step out and come and let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved? I'll go down and I'll meet you in the front, and I can take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you'll come out, step out and come as Brother Burt sings.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all, all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all, all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Would you bow your head with me tonight and pray for those that have come? Maybe there's one here that doesn't know Christ as Savior. Don't wait another invitation. Don't wait for another day. Step out and come tonight. Come and get it settled. Receive Christ as your Savior. Know that you know that you know that you're on your way to heaven. Don't doubt it another day. Step out and come as Brother Burt sings.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know Thy power divine. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior.